Yeah. Okay, so that was the rum. Basically, that if you form a friendship with the Russia, then you have to sympathize with his ideas and his way of life. It's impossible. You can't maintain he's a Russia and at the same time be a friend. It's not it's a psychological conflict. Okay.
Mishnah
Zayin. That was Zayin. Yeah, Mishnah Zayin. Perek Rishon Mishnah Zayin. Okay, so it's Al Tischaber LaRasha. So Rabbeinu Yonah had another. If you read Rabbeinu Yonah, you see clearly he's saying something different than the Rambam, because the Rambam was saying to pick up bad traits. But Rabbeinu Yonah says Al Tischaber LaRasha. He says Shehu Onesh Gadol She'ein Kamoso. This is the worst onesh, that there's none like it. You'll receive the worst onesh. Okay, ki hacheit hachamor. Okay, im pashabo asa avera achas. Because if a person does a bad chait, very bad chait, he's negligent and he commits a avera. So it's one avera. Did one avera. Aval zeh, but this being close to a Russia, being a friend of a Russia. He says, "B'chol avera she'osa ha'rasha yesh lo chelek b'hem b'schar chevrasa." Okay, so he says a strange thing. Every avera that Russia does, you have a chelek in. Right? He says, "V'nimtza osa chataim gedolim." Comes out, it's much worse. The guy does his own chait. Okay, so he did the chait, and that's it. He did one chait. But now he comes out, he has a chelek in many chataim. Okay, like uncontrollable. It's a situation, uncontrollable situation. like you have a wildfire there. You're tied into everything the guy does somehow or other. Any bad thing that guy does, you have a chelek. So I mean, that's a dangerous situation. It sounds much worse than what the Rambam's talking about. Okay, so I'll learn some bad traits. Okay, maybe I can undo them. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, if I'm the guy's friend, even though I'm not, maybe I didn't pick up any bad traits, or I did, but I'm just his friend. I go to a ball game with him. I'm not colluding with him to commit all kinds of averas, but this guy's doing averas. I have a chelek. I mean, it sounds like strange things, right? You know, sort of, you read it, you don't really, you know, okay. Sounds severe, it sounds, you know, worst thing, owner's got them. But, I don't know.
Sounds like you bought stock.
Yeah, just doesn't sound too, sounds like we should be serious, should be afraid of that. It sounds bad, but I don't know, like you just sort of, I don't think a person in that situation would really realistically think that he has a chelek in every one of this guy's affairs, this guy's private life. Now all of a sudden I'm tied in because I went to a ball, because I go to a ball game with him, or I'm the guy's friend, but I don't really engage in anything that the guy does. So why do I have a chelek in his affairs? If I don't participate,
when you're fulfilling his social need to interact with other people, right? I mean, with two,
right,
have friends with other people, and by that, I guess you're somehow like perpetuating a little bit his wishes.
You're aiding and abetting him, right?
Right, because I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Is that what I mean? I guess if a person doesn't have or sees he's not being befriended by anybody, he has to change who he is in order for him to connect with other people.
Right. Yeah.
Perhaps. But if he's being befriended by other people around him that are, so then maybe that just gives him more confidence in who he is and who he is right now.
Right. Right.
To continue in that path.
That's good. That's good. I mean, you're really supporting him because he has a social need. He can't live as a individual. He needs people. He needs support, emotional support, and it gives him a certain emotional support for him to live his lifestyle. So, in that sense, you're really you're aiding him.
Exactly.
Okay, that's very good. That's very good. That makes sense. I mean, right? Because if people would not befriend the person in any way, it's very difficult for him to continue his lifestyle, his philosophy. The fact that you're befriending him gives him certain kind of confidence. Without that confidence, he can't really continue.
That's true.
I mean, that's definitely true. No question about it. If a guy, you isolate a guy and he's estranged, he's not going too far. I mean, the person cannot function on his own. He just feels like a pariah. That's it. All the confidence is gone, and that's it. That's the end of his...
If anything, he might, at that point, he might even want to try to be like the other people around him, to identify with them so that they could befriend him, saying, you know, even to that extreme.
That's right.
He might actually force himself to change.
Yeah, that's true. That will cause him to change, that's right.
Yeah.
That's a big factor, social approval. A person on a normal level cannot function without social approval. That's true. Nobody befriends him, he'll have to change his ways.
Can't be him.
That's right. He's not going to be able to function that way. So by giving him approval, friendship, that's a tacit approval of his lifestyle, really. You're saying that you approve in a tacit way his lifestyle's his philosophy's acceptable. By doing that, you're really encouraging him and you're supporting him. You're supporting that philosophy. That's definitely true. I mean, you see every system, a Russia, any Russia, Hitler, any person that really committed any kind of bad thing could not do it alone. You had to have the support of the society. Tacitly, even if they didn't really support him actively, but the fact that they didn't say anything, that's support. That gives the person a certain courage, and he can't function without that. People have an image of Russia that he's a powerful guy. Yeah, under certain conditions. if he knows he has people behind him, very powerful. If those people, if he looks around and nobody behind him, you see how powerful the guy is. That's it. Yeah. See, that's also, I mean, that's one point. One point is that you're really supporting the guy by giving him social approval, you see. And you're really giving him support. He can't do it without you. See, that's the truth of the matter is, like... With the cheder ego, you know, like a person once mentioned that there were very few of the Am that really participated. I don't know what the number is, but it seemed like a very small number actually participated. And the, I mean, if somebody knows, I don't know if it was.
I think it was around 3,000.
3,000 people.
Yeah, it's, and that is 0.25%.
Right, 0.25%,
whatever.
And the whole Am was punished. I mean, right? So how's that, what kind of system is that? What kind of system of justice is that? You know? But it's the same answer. Because if they don't say anything, that's really tacit approval. If you're in a situation, I mean, it's slightly different. One point, the first point we were making is that by befriending him, you're supporting him. This is slightly different. By not opposing a person, if you have the power to stop something and you don't stop it, even if you're not encouraging it further, even if the person would do it without you, but if you're in a situation where a person is or a group is committing something and you have the power to stop them and you don't, you're chayv. In other words, the rest of the Am, if they would have stood up and protested, it wouldn't have happened. So the fact that they didn't do that, they're chayv for that avera. You see, so here too, one point is that by befriending the Russia, you're actually supporting him and aiding him. Okay, but forget about that. A separate point is by not protesting him and opposing him, you also have a chelek. Because if you could stop the person and you don't say anything, you have a chelek in the avera. You can't say, I didn't do it. I didn't do anything. I remained neutral, not sure. Oh, insofar as you, I don't know if this is what the Mishnah is exactly, I don't know if this is the main point of the Mishnah, but I think the idea is true also, that if you if you're nogay, if you're involved, if you have a certain relationship with a person, and you see the person is operating falsely, and you don't oppose, you don't say anything, you know, you want to maintain a certain friendship with him, and his personal life has nothing to do with you. If you can interfere in his philosophy and his lifestyle, and you don't, you are chayiv. Yeah.
Isn't that kind of opposite to what we just said, the other point, that if you were not friends with the guy, he's not going to be able to sustain himself. So I don't have to talk to him and tell him to speak against what he's doing, but doesn't it seem like, from what we were saying before, that just by not befriending him, he'll kind of lose his fuel for his philosophy?
That's right.
So then what would be the problem with just leaving it alone and not saying anything?
So it depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. Right? If the situation is such that you can actively oppose him, then you should.
Why?
Because if you can prevent a transgression from occurring, if you can prevent a harm from occurring, and you stand by and don't, so you're responsible.
Yeah, why are you responsible?
That's a good question.
I'm saying, I thought we said that if we don't befriend him, then that itself is a stand against him. Because let's say,
sure,
if everyone did it, then he would stop.
Right. That's correct. So that's one way, that would be a method of opposing him and stopping him from what he's doing. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I think there's two different ways of looking at it. The Chabur of Russia earlier, it's one's talking about him as a whole person, you shouldn't befriend him. One's talking about almost situationally, if you're on a situation with him and it's not just enough to stand by, you should act. And
that's correct.
And
that's correct.
It's different. It's not like
that's correct. I mean, we're saying there are two points here. We're saying, number one, when I befriend a person, since he has a need for social support, I'm actually supporting him because he can't function without me. So I'm actually providing him with a base of support. That's one point. That's definitely true. We're saying a separate point is that I have an obligation as a person not just to participate, not just to abstain from participating in chait, but if I have a way of opposing and removing evil from the world, I have a chiv to do that too. Okay? Two points. One point is that by befriending him, I'm actually supporting him. And number two, I have an obligation not only to remain neutral, but I have an obligation, really, where possible, I have an obligation to stop a person from committing evil. Okay.
You didn't answer why yet.
Why do I have? Yeah. Why do I have that obligation? To prevent evil from occurring.
Kind of very easy to just say that if I'm doing my own thing, whatever he does, that's his problem, but I'm worrying about myself.
Right.
And that's it. Apparently that's not enough, though. In certain situations, at least.
That's right.
You know, if they're knocking on people's doors saying, hey, are you doing good things right now?
Right. That's not enough. That's not enough, right?
Yeah.
Why is that not enough? I mean, I'm, you know, I'm worried, you know, take care of my own thing. I have to make sure that I am acting properly. So I'm acting properly. Watch what that guy does. Right, but apparently a person is not just a yachid. Now, as a person is a yachid, so he has to make sure he acts in the proper way. Right? But he's also a component of the Am. He's also part of an Am. Okay? Right, from the time of Sinai, right, we have a bris that we're exist as an Am, not just as Yechidim. Right, so before Sinai, if I don't do a chait and I live the just life, so I'm a just person, I'm a righteous person. Okay, but after Sinai, apparently, we made an agreement that we are going to exist as individuals and also as an Am. Right? So therefore now I am part of an Am. Now if the Am is unjust, that means I'm a component of an unjust entity. So I can't say I'm righteous.
But just because one person is unjust doesn't make the Am unjust.
What's that?
Just because one person is unjust doesn't make the whole Am unjust. In the same token that just because one person is just, the whole Am isn't just.
That's correct. But it certainly doesn't make the Am just.
So they're neutral.
Well, right? I mean, if you have a person that's committing an injustice, that person is part of the Am. Now, if the person's committing an injustice in a public way that reflects on the Am, that certainly is part of the Am. Right? But even if the person's committing an injustice privately and not doesn't reflect on the Am in a public way, isn't that person part of the Am?
Yeah, but what are we trying to achieve here? A just Am?
Yeah, that's just kind of shifting the question, isn't it? I mean, why are you trying to achieve? What is that idea?
To have a just Am?
Yeah.
It's nice to ask the question now, when you already agreed to that.
Yeah.
now we're thinking back, hey, what's that? Why do we have to be an Am?
I'm also surprised. I didn't think that this is an obligation. This isn't related to the Am. I would think this is more like in the world. Like so you're saying, if there's a non-Jew acting unjustly, it's not, you could just, then
I'm just saying, if we're all the Yechidim, if we're all individuals, right, so then I am concerned with myself. Right? And that's why do I want to be righteous? Because the best thing for me, I want to have a good life, and this will give me the greatest life, to be just, to be righteous, and I will have a very good life, right? And I don't want to be miserable, so I know if I commit injustice or I live not in a non-righteous way, it's going to harm me, right? I mean, that's basically, right, a person is looking for the greatest benefit for himself, right? So apparently, living according to justice, living righteously, that is the greatest benefit for the person. So why do I'm concerned about the greatest benefit for me. Now, if you want to destroy your life, you have free will also. You want to do that? I mean, you know, I could tell you, listen, you're doing a foolish thing, But it's up to you. God gave you free will. If you want to live that way, then that's your choice. Right? That is the situation if every person is yachid. Every person has, God gave every person free will to make their decisions, and you make your decision, I make my decision. Okay, you want to live, you feel that having an unjust life will benefit you? Okay, you're mistaken, but if that's something that you feel is a good thing, that's your free choice. Right? But I also have free choice. So why am I responsible to alter your choice? I'm not really. If each person is an individual, that's what it means. Each person is an individual. I'm responsible for myself. Okay? But once we have Sinai, so now we agree that we are going to function as an Am. And we're going to function as a nation. Which means that I'm also part of a nation. Okay? So it means I'm an individual, but I'm also a component of a nation. Now my responsibility is to have a righteous nation. Since I'm part of that nation, and the greatest thing for every person, for the whole nation, the most beneficial life is to live righteously, so then I want the nation to be righteous, because I'm part of that nation. Yeah.
I don't know, but based on what are you restricting it to the nation? I mean, can you just say the same thing? You know, we're all like a Brios. I mean, you know, you could say you see a non-Jew who's acting. In other words, so according to this, Altus Gabor LaRasha is... the mission means to a Jewish Russia, but I mean, would it not be a problem to be?
No, we're making two separate points. One point is I shouldn't be Tischaber. One point is I shouldn't be Tischaber LaRusha, because I don't want to. I'm really supporting it. I'm supporting evil. That I'm not allowed to do. Okay, but we're saying a separate point. I have to oppose evil too.
But why can you support evil?
What's that?
Let's say it's a non-Jew, so why can't you support evil? What's the problem?
For me to support evil. That's a good question.
I mean, according to what you're saying, I'm saying...
Right, that's a good question. In other words, if we're saying that we have a responsibility for each other as an Am, so then that would seem to mean that if the person's a non-Jew, there would be no problem.
Doesn't that make you unjust if you're supporting evil?
Okay.
Doesn't that make you unjust if you're supporting evil?
Okay.
So that's why we don't want to support you.
Wait, how are you supporting... I'm sorry, how is that making you unjust?
Because you're supporting evil.
Well, in what way... I missed it. How is it you're supporting evil? Like, what is that? Because you're not...
Because in order for a person to do anything, he has to be part of a society. Okay, and if a person's ostracized, he doesn't feel he could go against all of society.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with you, though. Let's say you just do it. I mean, according to what you're saying, that the lines are based on the arm or not, I'm not sure.
Right, but now since Sammy's saying that if a person supports evil and tries to get another person to be evil, that would be an evil.
Is he trying to get another person?
He is, because by befriending him, he's giving him a base for the man to do evil.
He's befriending him, so...
With the Am thing, we were talking about speaking against him, not necessarily befriending him.
That's
different. Befriending him is supporting him.
So a person supports evil, how could a person... think that evil is a bad thing and support it.
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy. Okay.
Is it affecting anyone? Who's it affecting other than this guy?
What's that?
Maybe it's not affecting
Why
anyone.
Why should I want to harm another person?
What?
Why should I want to harm another person?
It's affecting you.
What?
Affecting you. If you're supporting someone who's evil, that's an evil thing. That means you're not just. That's you. You're doing that.
Right.
It's an individual thing.
Do I have a right to go over to another guy and kill? I mean, could I kill the guy? Obviously, that's justice. If a person can't do that, that's not... he has no right to do that.
Well, by me supporting him,
I'm destroying that person. Because that person has a certain false philosophy, and the only way he could continue in his philosophy is if he has other people with him.
Okay, so but that now that one you're so you're saying would apply to a non-Jew.
It's anybody.
Because I'm letting this non-Jew hurt
I'm
himself.
Taking a person and I'm giving him the ability to have false ideas and ruin his life. I mean, is that, would you think any righteous person would do that? I don't think a righteous person would do that. I don't think a normal, any guy that's not righteous, any regular guy would say, here, take this guy, give him false ideas, let him ruin his life.
But, yeah, but yet you're saying that same guy, I wouldn't have to rebuke him, right? For his, this non, let's say he's a non-Jew.
That's the, okay. That's a separate question.
I could let him go. Let him go acting.
I don't know what
you said. Ideas. I mean, it's like
that's a good question.
I
don't understand
the
distinction. That's a good question. Yeah, yeah.
It's, I mean, we know that responsibilities extend to the point within the arm. That doesn't. That's not saying that. You know.
I understand the logic of it. Okay,
well, he's saying like this. He's saying if you're telling me.
That's
a good question. That's a good question. As what you're saying is like this. Good. Right?
Yeah.
He's asking a question. In other words, what we're saying is that if you see that person wants to destroy himself, you go over there and help him do it by providing him with support so that he could have false ideas and destroy himself, that would be an evil person. Right? That would be a wicked thing to do. Okay, so Joey's asking, so let's say you have a guy that you see has false ideas and is destroying himself. Shouldn't you go over there and oppose him and try to stop him and help him and prevent him from destroying himself? Wouldn't that be also a righteous person would do that? Or would a righteous person walk away and say, okay, God wants to destroy himself, so what?
To me that seems like with the situation in that's very understandable for the individual, because by doing that to someone else in the if he doesn't do that, it's going to negatively affect him.
Right.
Right? Because there's such guffa on the and if, whatever, if they're bad people in the it's just not going to be good for him. But it seems like if it's just a regular Joe on the street that's not part of his
right,
then it just sounds like, I don't know the term for it, but kind of beyond what his practical personal responsibilities are. Meaning,
right.
that's very, very good on his part to go help someone else to that point, but I wouldn't say it negatively affects him if he doesn't do that.
Okay. But the thing is like this, but we're saying at this point, what we're saying is, we're saying further than just an obligation that one person has to the arm. We're saying even aside from that, right? We're saying a person that really sees that a bad way of life and bad ideas is harmful to a person, it really gives him a bad life and it really destroys his happiness, right? So we're saying that a person would never, who sees that, would never go over and actually do that to a person, help him ruin his life. Nobody would do that, right? So we're saying on the same idea, if you see a person that is not knowledgeable and he's following a path that was going to harm him and he doesn't realize what he's doing, wouldn't it make sense that you should go over and try to help the guy and prevent him from harming himself? Wouldn't a person that really sees the benefit in living the correct way, if he saw a person that didn't have those ideas, he would want to help the person? Yeah.
No? I'm not disagreeing with that.
Right.
I would agree with that. I'm just saying that I wouldn't hold the guy liable if he didn't. That's
okay.
What I'm
okay. I mean, there's a different level of responsibility.
Right, yeah. Like, to kind of just, I guess, to kind of explain how the Mishnah's talking about, or the Rabbeinu Yonah's talking about a Jew and not necessarily a God.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. What are you saying?
But I think he is actively, in, I guess, in the end, trying to actively what do you call it, to actively partake in removing that even from the rest of the world. I think even that's the idea of the Am.
That's
the
right.
Am of reflecting. The Am is supposed to reflect those ideals and values onto everybody else. That's what it's
that's
supposed
correct.
To happen.
That's correct.
So, I mean, it is an active approach. I mean, it is not as direct as you would say to a fellow Jew.
Right.
But
it is.
On a
right.
personal level. But
okay. So, in other words, there are two levels that a person has to function on. On one level is in terms of the Am and the responsibility of to the Am. But what Joey's saying is, which I think is true, that a person that has a recognition that of what the correct ideas and the correct lifestyle is would want to help any person. Okay, so even before Sinai, just as a yachid, a person that has a true recognition of the true value system would naturally want to help another person. Okay, so I think that is true. That's a true statement. Okay, so really there are two frameworks here. There's a framework of a responsibility to the Am as another Jew, but then there's a framework once a person recognizes the truth, that he would want to help another person and not see another person be harmed. Okay? Okay.
Meaning exist with these ideals?
What's that?
Whatever resource he has, like, I mean, just his existence as in that state, or does it have to be like he's actively harming somebody else or the world? In a way?
Who the person?
The Rasha.
Yeah, even because when a Rasha has the wrong ideas, he's harming himself.
All right. Okay.
So even if he doesn't, certainly if he harms other people, but even if he just is harming himself. If you could stop a person from harming himself, that would be a good thing too.
Right. So it does seem like a little bit contrary, like, I don't know what Sammy said before, to what we said originally, the other dimension, I guess.
Well, there are two dimensions. Right? There's one dimension is there's a special responsibility that a person has to the Am. Okay?
Right.
But now we're saying that even without that responsibility, just when a person has knowledge, certain knowledge of philosophic knowledge of the correct way of life, if a person sees somebody else not doing that, the natural response would be a person wants to prevent somebody else from harming themselves. Okay, that's just a natural desire that a person would have.
Right.
Okay. So I think there are two separate frameworks, really. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's basically the Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay. So really, we could interpret the Rabbeinu Yonah on two levels. One level is that by befriending a person, you're actually helping him to do an avera. Okay. And the other thing is that if a person sees that somebody else is doing something evil, and he could stop him, and he doesn't stop him, so he's actually a participant in that. Okay, if he just sits by and does nothing, tacit agreement, there's no such thing as just being neutral. If I just sit by and do nothing, that's I'm responsible for that too. I have a responsibility in that regard also. Okay?
But again, you're saying that's only... Did the Rabbeinu Yonah mention about the Am?
No.
He said, okay. But you're saying, again, that's only in the framework of the Am, right?
Well, I'm saying we're talking about responsibility, meaning that I will get an onesh. I mean, there are two frameworks. That's all I could say. There are two frameworks. There's the framework of the Am. That I have a direct responsibility, that I agree to watch over that other person. Okay? With regard to somebody that's not part of the Am, that's just a natural thing, that a person would not want another person to harm himself.
So are you saying...
But that's not a responsibility that I accepted upon myself. Yeah.
Okay, so like, just, I mean, there's a whole... I mean, you think of a couple of halachos, so I'm just wondering if that's what you're talking about. You're talking about like, okay, tochiyah, you're talking about...
Those are all expressions of a responsibility to the Am, yeah.
Okay, so are you explaining them why that... What the reason for those halachos are? Because
I'm not saying the reason, I'm just saying that...
There is a separate halacha that came about at Sinai, halachos, whatever they're
called. There was an Am created, so insofar as you're part of an Am... then you have to be worried about the yam, not just yourself.
So the halacha doesn't necessarily extend to outside of that.
Yeah, outside of that, because you're not part of that yam. That's a separate thing. That's a private thing. If you see another person, whether he's part of your arm or not, that's not a question of a responsibility. That's just if a person sees another guy drinking poison. So would you just stand
knowing
by?
That it's not,
what's that?
Knowing that it's poison.
Knowing that it's poison, you're not going to just stand there and do nothing. That's a separate thing. But that's not because you accepted a special responsibility to make sure that guy doesn't drink poison. There's no such thing like that.
But how do we extend that sensitivity if we're not extending the responsibility to other people? How do we... You know what I'm
saying? I mean, I would say what's the sensitivity? It's a good question.
What's your question?
I'm saying, how do you, once we know that the responsibility extends only to the how do we extend the sensitivity outside of the how do we form within the?
That's a good question.
You can see it's a problem. I mean, today I think it's
right.
It's pretty relevant.
I would say most people don't say. I would say most people don't concern themselves with other people because they don't see clearly. It's not because they don't mind if another guy does something evil or a guy harms himself, but most people don't see that living the wrong lifestyle, they don't understand the idea that man has to live in a certain way to be happy. And as most people don't recognize it, they think every person has to find out for himself what makes him happy, and that there's multiple lifestyles possible for people. So therefore they consider it crazy to go and tell another guy how to live. Okay? So they don't recognize that idea that man has a specific nature, and if he lives in a foolish way, he's going to come to harm. People don't recognize that. So that's why they consider it, mixing into somebody else's life. Okay? But the fact is that if a person would see that there's a specific way, that if you live in a certain way, you're going to be happy, and if you go against that lifestyle, the person's then not going to be happy. So I think people would look at it differently. Okay, but I was just bringing up the thing of the bris, because the question was at Sinai, with the Egel Hazav. It was a separate point. But again, so there's two frameworks. Right? There's a framework insofar as a person is a yachid, and insofar as a person is part of the Am. Okay.
Okay. The Chei Egel happened just a month earlier.
What's that?
The Chei Egel happened like a month earlier or whatever, before Har Sinai.
That's right.
It wouldn't have been.
That's right, exactly.
A whole different thing, you're saying.
Whole different thing, right.
Can you, I don't know if it's a side point, but can you go into that a little bit? Why? I mean, like you're saying, this just seems like somewhat of an arbitrary distinction to me. But unless you're saying, I don't understand
that. If you accept the Shvua that you are going to be part of an Am. So don't you think that gives you different? In other words, if I accept the shvuah that I am going to watch over you, do you think that I have the same responsibility as before if I don't accept that shvuah?
Yeah, but that's you're saying that from like a contractual perspective. I'm just meaning like
that's a contractual thing. In other words, you made a shvuah at Sinai that you're going to function as an arm. That is a contractual thing.
Yeah, I assume there's a philosophical reason why Hashem said that. Here's the break: you're the nation, but not the whole world.
But obviously, that's what I'm saying. Do you think that, isn't that the idea of a bris?
I'm just asking the reason. I mean, I'm not arguing that.
I don't know the reason, but I'm just saying those are the facts. That you definitely have a bris between that there's an Am Yisrael, that there's a difference between an Am Yisrael and outside of the Am. I mean, I don't think, right?
Can I say what in front of the question will help?
What? I don't understand what you're asking. You want to know?
I'm asking why question, but
what are you asking? Yeah. What? What are you asking? I don't understand what you're asking.
The philosophy behind. Let's say.
I don't know the philosophy. I mean, I don't know the philosophy.
Because what changed other than
you want to know what? And I would say it's the will of God that there should be a nation that follows a certain system, a separate nation that follows a certain system. That's the will of God. Not that the world should follow a certain system, but that there should be one individual nation that follows a certain system of Tayag.
You're asking what's a nation?
What's a nation?
Is that what you're asking?
No. In other words, you're saying that, let's say, Hochei Tochiach, right?
Right, because God's will
is
restricted
to
that's right.
It's restricted to one Jew to another Jew.
Right, because that's part of the system. God's will is that there should be a system that this nation follows, separately than the whole world. So that means you have to make a specific nation that people are responsible for each other.
I guess also he's kind of asking, why is that the most efficient method of I guess, eliminating resources from the world, if that's Hashem's ultimate goal? Or
say that again.
Or eliminating resources from the world.
Resources from the world.
Yeah, or
I mean, we can't know what the most efficient method is. We can just know what God decided was the best method. And God's will is that the best method is that there should be a specific nation that follows a system, and that they have to, and that obviously the purpose is that the world should be get an example from this. But God's will is there should be a specific nation that follows this system. Okay, so since you have a nation, now you have responsibility of one person to another. It's part of the nation. Now you're not a yachid anymore. Before that, each person was a yachid.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Okay. Okay, so the last part of the mission is Valtisyash Mena Paranos. Okay? So if you take a look at Rashi, he says like this. He says an interesting thing. She'im ata ashir, al tiftach be'ashrecha. Okay? It means if a person is wealthy, a person is a rich person, he should not have confidence in his riches. Okay? He shouldn't feel a sense of confidence. Lefisha ha-peranos me-maheras lovo. Okay? Because calamity is quick to occur. Okay? Lechein tia kol shah befachad. Therefore, a person should always be befachad, worried. Okay? A person has wealth. He shouldn't feel this is guaranteed, but he should have a sense of some kind of sense of concern that things could change. Okay, I could lose everything. All right. And Rashi says, "V'chein hu omer ashri adam mefachet tamid." Okay, Mishlei says a person should be a happy person is a person that is constantly worried. Okay, strange statement. V'chein imba alecha ra. Okay. And then Rashi says, similarly, if evil occurs to a person, al tisyayish, a person should not lose hope. The fisha haYeshua, ba'olam haYeshua karova lavo. Okay, because salvation is quick to come. Okay. Right? So Rashi says that if a person is in a good situation, he's a wealthy person, he should not be confident that this situation will continue, but he could lose everything. Okay, so the person should be mefachet, should be in a state of concern. Okay? So, okay, and similarly, the reverse. If a person is in a bad state, bad situation, he should not lose hope. Okay, because Yeshua is Krova Lavo, comes quickly. Okay? So what do you say?
What about the middle class people?
What's that?
What about the middle class?
The middle class, that's right. What about the middle class? Exactly. Okay.
funny, I guess, that the Mishnah only chooses one half.
Right?
Yeah,
that's
good.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Okay. But why is it... But also, I'd like to know, why is it v'chein? In other words, they're saying, Rashi's saying, that if a person is in a good state, so he should be concerned he'll lose the good state. Okay, this person should have that concern. Okay. And if a person, and he says similarly, if a person is in a state of loss, right, he should have hope that the situation will improve, because it's likely things will improve. So are these, is this opposites? And is he telling two opposites? He's telling you one hand when you're in a good state. I mean, I don't know, I'm just thinking. One hand, when you're on a good state, a person should be concerned, I might lose it. Right? And which would, I mean, that, so if he's in a good state, so it seems that your tendency should be based on your state. And as if you're in a good state, then your concern should be, I might lose it. And if you're in a bad state, then no, you shouldn't be mafached. Right? And that's why when a guy's in a bad state, maybe he should be mafached, that this is going to continue or get worse. No, then he says, a guy shouldn't be messiah, shouldn't give up hope. You should have, on the contrary, you should be optimistic in that situation, that because things get better. So it would seem it's really an opposite attitude. Is that a contradiction? Whereas why don't we say, if a person should be mafache tamid, why don't we say that when a person is in a bad state, he should also be mafachid? Maybe things will get worse.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're trying to encourage like certain like traits, I guess. We're trying when a person's in a like you know an usher,
right.
It's very, there's a strong tendency for people in that state, I guess, to become overly reliant on their money,
right.
And become, I guess, arrogant or whatever we don't want them to be. And instead, it's better for them to understand that, in order for us to direct them away from that, you know, the most efficient method would be to put them in that state, like the precarious state of like them. They don't know, you know, they don't rely on that. You know, they don't know
okay.
if to continue in that state. They should live like that in order for them to direct them away from the money, because they might lose it. Yeah.
Okay, so one second. So you're saying that if a guy has money and that and he's in a seemingly secure state, so you're saying what? That a person shouldn't have that sense.
That it, like the money is everything, that he's so secure with the money, and you know, he's really should be reliant on Hashem. And how are we like going to do that?
Okay, so why shouldn't he have that sense? Let's just ask that. Why shouldn't the person have that sense of security? If he has the money, why should he not have a sense of security? Why is it telling you should not have that sense of security?
Why is security?
But on the contrary, you should have a sense of, well, I don't know, insecurity, but sort of. Why should a person not have the sense of security if he has ashiras, wealth?
And why wouldn't that encourage him? I'm just thinking, why wouldn't that encourage him to become more greedy with his money?
That's true. I mean, if the guy feels a sense of insecurity, then he feels he needs more money.
Right.
And that is why, and that is a thing that you do see, that people, no matter how much they have, they feel, yeah, but I could lose it. I could lose it. I gotta work more. Right? I need more money. Because you never know. On the contrary, then we say, "Oh, you should realize you have enough, and don't be concerned." Right? Well, why would you say a person should not have that sense of security in the money? What's the one reason why he shouldn't have that sense of security?
False.
What's that?
Because it's not true.
It's not true. It's not true. It's a false sense. It's not realistic. Okay? That's unrealistic. Okay? So, since it's unrealistic, the person shouldn't have that, have an unrealistic viewpoint. Number one, because it's unrealistic, and number two, because it will cause him to make mistakes. He will overlook things, and he won't be careful with his money, because he's unrealistic. Okay? But let's just go to the second half. So the second half is that a person is in it, if a person's poor or he's in a bad state, right? So then the Rashi says that a person shouldn't give up hope, right? Because Yeshua Krov Alova, okay? Because things change very readily for the better.
Kind of sounds like you're just going to keep going back and forth and never stay in.
Forth.
Right?
That's right. So why is he saying that a person shouldn't give up hope? Why is that wrong to give up hope?
What does it mean to give up hope?
In other words, a person gets, let's say for instance, a person gets in a bad situation, loses a job, that everything goes bad, his finances go down the hill. So a person gives up hope, he goes, forget it. It's hopeless. The situation is hopeless. A person has that feeling, gets a feeling that's it, I'm done for.
What does it mean? Practically, what does that mean? Like, what is he going to just stop what? Stop.
That's a good. Okay.
What
you're
is
saying?
He to give up
he's
going to
total state of despair. He's like,
what is he
becomes
gonna,
depressed.
Like, commit suicide? Like.
It's a good question, okay. But what is wrong? Okay, I understand what you're asking. In other words, so what will be the practical results or harm of a person giving up hope?
Yeah, I mean, someone's always looking to survive. Like,
okay.
Unless he's giving up hope is committing, like, killing yourself. What else?
Well, but I guess it means, what it means is a person will not, a person who's in a, well, let's first see what's the idea of giving up hope. I mean, just descriptively, giving up hope means that yes, he's going to survive, but he has no hopes of ever reinstating himself in his previous position. He's going to remain poor and downtrodden his whole life. That's the way the guy feels. He feels like, oh, this is, I'm done for. Now I just have to function on this lower level where I'm not going to have any more kavod, not going to have any more recognition, no more social standing. That's it. I'm just going to be on a lower financial level, and that's it. This is my lot. That's the way the guy feels. Why is that? Why are they saying that's wrong?
I mean, in both cases, with the Asir and the Ani, his sense of security is tied up with his, you know, financial status.
Okay.
So when he's rich, he can form security in
right.
his money, and when he's poor, all his security is tied up in his money. So once he has no money, he becomes totally insecure.
But then why does he? Okay. But the point is like this: when the guy gives up hope. And the Mishnah is telling you the person should not give up hope. They're saying because it's equally unrealistic. That is equally unrealistic. In other words, for a person to say the situation can't change, that's an unrealistic viewpoint. Okay? So really, a person could be unrealistic in both ways. Right? He could be unrealistic that things will... In other words, when he's in a good state, he's unrealistic that I'm set, right? And when he's in a bad state, he is unrealistic in the opposite way, that things are going to remain the same. Right? Yeah.
You know, so, I think consistent with what you're saying, I think he's making a parallel. The parallel that he's making, I think, is that this, you know, your financial situation or this kind of thing is accidental, and it's very much up to chance. So as long as you act in a certain, like, kind of steady way,
right?
Fortunes, I don't mean that in a Finnish sense, but fortunes can change for people just as easily. It goes one way or the other.
Right.
It's really up to people. Think that like, oh, if I made a lot of money, that means I'm really smart and I always will,
right?
Or vice versa,
right?
But it's very much up to chance. Like, two people doing the same exact thing, one, it'll work out for one person, and won't work out for the other, you know, but the following year it could very easily flip around there.
Right, okay. But would you say it's totally up to chance?
I would say very much. I mean,
because if it was really up to chance, then I would say the person should always be mafache, even when he's right. Then I wouldn't say Yeshua Krova Lovo. When a person's lost everything, you wouldn't say be optimistic, right? You wouldn't say be optimistic; things are going to change for the better. Maybe that's equally unrealistic. I mean, maybe because according to what you're saying, which let's adopt that viewpoint for a second, that it means that things are very, what do you call it, capricious. I mean, things are very tenuous. You know, you have money one day, and that's it. You lose this customer, that's it. You know what I mean? So things are very tenuous. So really, it would seem the one attitude a person should have is he should be mefachet, because there's very little under man's control, right? One turn of events, and that's it. Everything is changed. The rich become poor, and the poor become rich. Right? You have a revolution now; the whole social order has changed. Right? So, really, it would seem if a person is thinking about chance, then what chance does he have? I mean, then the pessimistic attitude would seem to be much more in line with reality. Right? But it seems that the Mishnah is telling you that both attitudes, in certain situations you need to be pessimistic, in other situations you need to be optimistic. Right? Why is that?
I guess I'm saying, I hear what you're saying, right? But I guess I guess I would modify it somewhat that, I mean, I guess I would just say not to look upon that state as, as a hard fixed reality.
Okay,
but I'm not.
So I mean, really, what you're saying is like this. I mean, really, what it's saying is that there may be chance. You see, but we can't deal with chance. We can't deal with that. We can't function. We have to function in a certain way, right? How do we function? We have to function with principles. We have to use principles, not chance. Okay, so the thing is like this. A person uses principles. How does a person gain wealth? He's using certain business principles, and he's operating with his intelligence to do the right move. Right? That's how a person gets wealth. But what changes once a person has wealth? You see, very often once a person has the wealth, he forgets about the principles and becomes tied to the particulars. He says, I'm a wealthy guy. That's a mistake. You see, what got him there was not operating on the particulars. He was functioning with principles, you see, and he was using his intelligence to act based on the principles, business principles, whatever area he's in, he's using ideas and principles that his mind recognizes make sense, and he's following those ideas, you see. Now, what happens is, once he gets in a certain state, he becomes attached to the particular, because now he has the money, he wants this particular. He wants to stay where he is, you see. So once a person becomes fixed to particulars, then he says, that's it, I'm a wealthy guy. Mefached means, it doesn't mean worry, it means concern. It means a person has to always recognize that his state, every second, is just dependent on whether he's following the logical ideas in the mind. If he's following logic, and what his mind tells him is the right thing, then he could remain the way he is, but not because of the particulars. You see, that's why things change. Guy has to use a new maneuver. Business changes. Guy has to change his approach. You see, so that's why when a guy loses everything and becomes financially ruined, you see, that's the opposite thing. Now he gets tied to that particular. Ugh. I'm a failure. You see, he becomes tied to the particular. It's telling you in both cases, you can't follow the particular. You have to go based on the principles. And the principles are that there's a system of reality. And if you follow reality, Yeshua is Karova Lavo. Things will work out. Why? Not because they just work out by chance, but because if you do the right moves, I don't care you're on the lowest rung, you could the next second become a millionaire. Because it's just dependent on locking into the correct factors. You know what I mean? And what prevents a guy is he doesn't, he forgets about following the logical patterns of reality, and he gets locked into a particular. This is who I am. That's it. You know what I mean? I'm a low guy. You see? But, and the same thing when he's wealthy. I'm a wealthy guy. You see? But actually, each state is just dependent on one thing. Following the principles that the guy has to follow in terms of reality. The universals. You see, if a person follows the universals, then he's going to be successful. I mean, it's not guaranteed because, like Joey says, there is chance. But insofar as a man could operate, he has to operate based on the mind and not based on his particular state. See, that's why the Mishnah doesn't have the middle case. Because the middle case, a person is not drawn into any particulars. The emotions are free because he's not at any extreme. He can't look at himself like an unbelievably wealthy guy, so those emotions aren't pulled in. And the emotion of depletion and depression, he's not under the influence of that because he's not in a low state. He's in a middle state. So a middle financial state, then emotionally his emotions are basically neutral. You see, his emotions are neutral. That's why the guy functions in line with rationality. You see? But the moment he gets in one of these extremes, then the emotions become very activated and they become tied to the particular thing. Oh, this is the way it's going to be. You see? That prevents a person from actually functioning in the correct way.
Are we going richer?
What's that?
You're saying prevents him from becoming richer.
Well, let's put it this way. It could have one, when a guy does, you see, when a guy's under that influence of, I'm a rich guy, you see, it takes him away from noticing the right moves at the right time. Now, it may not result in him losing everything, you see, because he might be able to still function in line with the principles that got him there. But all it's saying is, you're in danger. Once you lose that concern for reality, and you have a sense of self, a false sense of self-security, you're in danger of slipping up. You know what I mean? That's why a lot of businesses, once they become very big, they're going up, 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 and all of a sudden something happens, crazy thing, the company starts going downhill. What happened? I mean, they were so successful for so many years building up, and all of a sudden, or people, you see the guy's so successful building up, and what happens? And something happened, the guy made the wrong move, did this, bankrupt, this or that. What? I mean, the guy, how did this happen? Because the point is, while the guy's moving up, you see, he's acting according to the principles. He knows he's in jeopardy, that he has to make every right move. He doesn't feel a sense of security because he's building the business up. Once the business is built and he's, so to speak, got his image of he's made it, you see, then already he loses that mafachet, that his eye is removed from the realistic principles. Once that happens, the guy's in danger. You see, it doesn't mean every time he's going to fail, but he's in that danger. And that's what it's telling you. Don't get caught in that thing. The same attitude that got you there, you have to remain in that attitude. You can't have that sense of the particulars. I'm tied to this thing. That's it. This is going to continue. Not true. Okay. That's why you see like Warren Buffett, like I like to use an example, but you see, like a lot of times they interview. And they go, well, what would you recommend? What's your success? You know, you expect the guy's gonna, you know, I can't tell you that. I mean, my success is I'm just successful. No, he goes, well, I would recommend my success, and I would recommend to anybody is to, you know, like a very simple thing. Read chapter. I mean, obviously it's simplistic, but he's saying that the book that I always that I base myself on was this book, The Intelligent Investor, by a certain author. It was the guy that taught him the area. And he says in the most important chapters, or whatever it is, 7 to 13, he gives you a very simplistic thing. But you could see the man says that in all of my years, I've never really changed my approach. My approach has always been the same, based on this kind of intelligent approach. And you can see when you listen to the guy, he's following that same approach. He doesn't change because of his position, that now he has an image of security. You know what I mean? You see that he's still tied to certain basic principles. That's really the idea of mefache tamid. You know, and when you apply it to financial. Of course, you could apply that to any area of life. Okay? But they're giving you as a mashal, applying it to the finances. Okay? Of course, more important is to apply it to your personal life and how a person lives. There's a greater importance. But as a mashal, they're giving you this idea in terms of the finances. All right? Yeah.
What about the Lashon of Tisyanish? Isn't that a strange Lashon? Do you trust that?
Tisyanish.
I mean, like, don't give up hope on the...
The Tisyanish, it's good. It's a good question. It's a good question.
I
got to think about it.
Last time.
What's that?
Yeah. I think someone else asked that last time, but it's just a funny...
It's a funny Lashon.
I mean, I could see it for the other side.
That's right. The next time we'll do the Rambam, you'll see it fits in very well with the Rambam, the way the Rambam interprets it. Okay, we can give a very good explanation for that based on the Rambam, but we'll save that for next time.